Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to this new week at Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Davis, welcoming Andrew Farley to the program today. And friends, we're glad that you're with us as well. The phone lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls now at 844-322-2742. So if you have a Bible question or a personal issue, don't hesitate, friends. Someone with the same issue or question that you have is looking for the answer as well. So call that number, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. Call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel. And as I said earlier, Dr. Andrew Farley is joining us today. And Andrew, it's always an exciting time when you join us, so thanks for being with me.
Hey, Bob, great to be with you. You know, I wanted to start off today's broadcast reading from Titus chapter 3. It says, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy, He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. And Bob, this to me is an encapsulation of the entirety of the gospel in just a couple of verses. I mean, first, the motivation is the love of God. That's what inspired Him to do what He did.
Yeah.
And then it says He saved us not because of our track record, not because of the great stuff we've done, but because of His mercy. And then lastly, Bob, it says that, you know, we've got this salvation, and it's not just God looking at us differently, pretending that we're different, but there actually was a rebirth and a renewal by the Holy Spirit. And finally, I would just say, hey, you know what? If you've ever heard the false message of you need more of the Spirit, that you need extra Spirit, that you need a booster shot of the Spirit, well, you know what Paul says right here? He's been poured out on us generously. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And Bob, when you're blessed with every blessing, you certainly don't need a second blessing. It worked the first time, right?
Absolutely, it worked the first time. Thanks for those thoughts, Andrew, and really appreciate you're being with us today for this edition of Basic Gospel as Bob Christopher is away. And so we're going to have a good time on this one. I'll tell you what, let's do. First of all, we had a question from a long, long, long time friend, and her name is Nadine, and she lives in Kansas, and we're going to listen to her call right now, Andrew.
This is Nadine. My first question is, our Sunday school teacher said yesterday morning that he made the comment he was glad he had been immersed in his baptism experience rather than sprinkled. And so I would like to know if there is a little error there. To me, that's religion. It says, whosoever calls upon Christ shall be saved. It doesn't talk about how you're baptized. And in me, you will have peace. Well, then my next question, he also mentioned that we can step away from Christ anytime we want to. And that's something that we need to spend more time in the Word and praying to keep from happening. I just can't quite embrace that, because it says in the Bible, in me you will have peace. I do have that peace. And if my mind is always on, oh, I don't want to step away, I don't want to step away, well, there goes my peace. I just can't believe that. It said, we'll have peace that passes all understanding in the Bible. And I just can't quite get my arms around some of those statements that I heard yesterday morning in Sunday school.
Wow.
Well, I would like some answers.
Yeah.
My first husband and I attended people-to-people seminars years ago in Texas.
Many years.
And I've been free ever since. And I don't plan on walking back into that bondage again. Thank you for listening. Bye.
As I said, Nadine has been a friend many, many years, probably going back to the middle or late 80s as we began this broadcast. And like I said, she's been a friend, Andrew, for a long, long time.
Well, that is one wise woman. You can tell from her insights and her comments and the way that she expresses herself that she truly knows the love and grace of God. You know, as far as the first question about baptism, I mean, the word baptism, it means to submerge or immerse or put into. And there's a baptism that saves us. There's a baptism that's really essential, and that is when we are put into Christ. It's not about water. It's not about a liquid. It's not about H2O. It's about being put in Jesus Christ, and that's the baptism that saves. And so if we're going to celebrate that, Bob, and have family and friends gather together, that the celebration that we are now in Christ, and so we go down into the water and come out and everybody cheers and says amen, that's great, and that's wonderful. And, you know, it's just like the Lord's Supper. It's a celebration of what's already taken place. It's right. Not causing something.
Yes.
And so I'm with her. I mean, she's concerned because if we get wrapped up in the method of baptism, then we've missed the meaning of baptism. And we could get all wrapped up in the mode of baptism instead of recognizing the importance of that celebration as a symbol, a picture, a shadow of the spiritual reality. So, you know, I have mixed feelings on this. I mean, first off, I mean, you know, we shouldn't be obsessed with any mode or method, because we're really supposed to be obsessed with our Savior and His finished work. But if you want to say, all right, now, which method is the best representation, or which method gives us the best picture, the best symbol, the best shadow? Well, clearly, someone who goes down into death and then rises out of a tomb, namely Jesus, and namely us in Him, that could be best depicted as a person goes down into the water and comes out, and that's the way that John the Baptist did it. That's the way that the early church did it, and that's wonderful and fine and good, but let's be careful, just as your friend has urged us, to not turn that into religion, because the Corinthians were arguing over baptism.
Yeah.
They were arguing over who baptized whom, and you know, trying to level up like in a video game or something. I got baptized by the Apostle Paul himself. Who'd you get baptized by? And Paul's answer to that is, you know what? I thank God that I did not baptize many of you, and Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So let's stay focused on the gospel and the salvation we have in Christ, not in water. And we can celebrate that all day long, every day, through giving thanks in our hearts, through a water baptism event, through a Lord's Supper celebration. There's lots of ways to celebrate the gospel, but it's all about Jesus in the end. And then, you know, her second question, this idea of walking away. My goodness, wherever you walk, there's Jesus.
Yeah.
Wherever you walk, He lives in you.
Yeah.
And Ephesians 6 says in the very last verse, it says, we love the Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. So that means you're never going to stop loving Him. Your love is undying, and He put that love in there. I mean, we love God because He first loved us, and He poured out His love in our hearts. So I don't know. I've heard it for years. I know you have too, my friend, that, oh, Jesus would never leave you, but maybe you'll leave Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, look, the reality is God took out the old, put in the new. The old self is gone. You're a new creation. The new creation has no desire, zero, zilch, no desire to abandon Christ, and we can't do it anyway because we're united with Him. That was His prayer in the garden, John 17, that we would be one just as He and the Father are one. Well, some great news. That prayer was answered. We are one. We are united, and we've got an undying love for Jesus.
Absolutely. A great answer, Andrew, as always. And Nadine, thank you for the very insightful questions. We hope that you get to work that out with the Sunday school teacher. It'll be a blessing for you to work through that. I am absolutely sure. So again, thanks, Nadine, for reaching out. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining me. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us today. And friends, as we've said many times, Thank you for your support of the message of grace in Jesus Christ that you hear every weekday through this ministry that we call Basic Gospel. And with your gift today, we'll say thank you once again by sending you a copy of Bob's excellent, insightful book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's a study in how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net, and you will be blessed through its pages. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Your copy awaits for you as you make your donation now or any time at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, the phone number. We want you to be a part of this live edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Andrew also had this question that came in over the weekend.
Yes, hello. This is Matthew. So my question is there still true, real prophets of God in today's times? And then if not, how do you differentiate between God's prophet and a person with the gift of prophecy? Thanks.
Yeah, well, I don't believe that the gifts have gone anywhere. I know that some people teach the gifts have vanished, and I think when Paul talks about certain gifts ceasing, he's talking about at the end of the age. He's talking about when we don't need to proclaim the gospel anymore to call people unto salvation by proclaiming the excellencies of what God has done. And so, you know, when we're sitting in heaven, when it's all said and done, when Revelation and all the events in it have come to fruition, then certain gifts won't be needed. And that's what Paul means. But as far as gifts today, I believe they're still around, that God is using the church, that we are each equipped uniquely by the Spirit of God, that it's up to Him how He has equipped us. And so you look at the gift of prophecy. Let's talk about that for a minute. I mean, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that prophecy is for exhortation, and it's for edification, and it's for consolation. Now, those are three big words, Bob. Yeah. Let's talk about them, because consolation is when you console somebody and you comfort them. They're hurting, and you console them. You have a word of comfort for them, and that's fantastic. And then exhortation is when you're spurring somebody on to a new attitude or a new action. And then lastly, this idea of edification, well, that's just encouraging somebody and building them up. An edifice is a building, and so we're talking about building someone up. That's edification. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 says, "The one who prophesies speaks to people for their edification, for their consolation, and for their encouragement." That's that building up and strengthening and comforting. So Paul's definition is not fortune telling. It's not future telling. It's not that you need to write another book, Revelation 2. this prophecy from the Old Testament leading up to Jesus, that prophecy is complete. That sort of future telling is over. And that's why the book of Revelation, at the very end, it says, don't add to this book.
Right.
And don't take away from this book, because this is complete. Now, you say, all right, then, prophecy in the New Testament era, here we are, it's got to mean something. Well, Paul just told us what it meant. It means applying the word of the gospel, applying the truth about Christ to people's situations, to people's problems, as they're struggling with grief and doubt and fear, comforting and encouraging and strengthening them. That's New Testament prophecy. So just think of your average Christian counselor out there. Think of a Christian counselor who really understands the finished work of Jesus. Well, as they console and as they edify, as they build up, as they exhort toward new attitudes, all of that could be considered prophecy, if you will. But I think our minds have been tainted, Bob. we're so used to prophecy being somebody's going to slap their hand on your forehead and tell you your future. You're going to be in China next week, and, you know, Greg's going to be in Africa next week, and Coleman's going to be in Iceland next week, you know.
Taking a trip.
Hey. So we start imagining that that's what prophecy is, and then, quite frankly, we're scared of it. We don't know what to do with it because, you know, it's gotten a bad rap. It's gotten a bad name. But when you look at the true, authentic gift, this new covenant, today's prophecy is really about Jesus and how he's our comforter and how he is our encourager. So, you know, there's no difference between prophecy and prophets. I think we don't need to complicate that.
Yeah.
We can just keep it straight up and straightforward that, you know, God has gifted some as pastors and teachers and encouragers and lovers of other people. I mean, love is a spiritual gift, and hospitality is a spiritual gift, and this prophecy is a spiritual gift as well. So let's embrace that diversity and variety in the body of Christ.
Absolutely. Matthew, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. If you have other questions, don't hesitate to reach out. Again, open lines, friends, 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. We would love for you to come in and be a part of this edition. If you have a Bible question, something that's been nagging at you, maybe a personal issue, this is a great opportunity to speak with Andrew and me, and we would love for that to happen. 844-322-2742. Well, Andrew, we had this question from Eric. He says, many of the early church fathers believed you could lose your salvation, or they could lose their salvation. Clement, Polycarp, Justin Martyr, to name just a few. 2 Timothy 2:20-22, and Hebrews 10:26 seem to back this up. If this is so, what hope does anyone have except to die a martyr's death for a guaranteed salvation? Lord knows I fall every 5 minutes, Eric says. So that's the question from Eric.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, let's not let the, quote, early church fathers bother us on this one, because you do a little bit of research into these early church fathers, as they are so famously called, and you find out quite quickly that they disagreed with each other.
Yeah.
So many people fall at the feet of these early church fathers and try to build theology around what they said. And the truth is, when you get a sample of 50 of them, you're going to find 50 different sets of beliefs that don't coincide. So it's a bit of a pipe dream. It's a mirage. I would just skip all of that and say, why are we falling at the feet of someone who was 200, 300 years after Christ, when we know that the church was getting things wrong very early?
Sure.
I mean, let's not forget the Galatians. They were getting things wrong very early. They were suddenly trying to justify themselves by the law. They were trying to self-improve without the Holy Spirit. They were trying to sort of add on to their salvation and become super Christians, if you will. And then you've got the Corinthians. Oh, my goodness, don't get me started on the Corinthians. They're not only arguing over water baptism, they're practically having orgies at the Lord's Supper. They're making a mockery of the celebration. There's one guy who's with his father's wife and doing such outlandish things, these Corinthians, that not even the unsaved people were doing in the city of Corinth. So my point is, Bob, look, we were getting things wrong very early.
Yeah.
So it's not the age of a belief that makes it true. It comes down to this: is it scriptural? Is it of the Lord? And you know what? With the Spirit of God living in you, you are perfectly equipped to understand these scriptures and understand the truth that sets you free. And the fact that somebody lived 1,700 years ago doesn't make them closer to God and doesn't make them more qualified. So, you know, you come back to 2 Peter. He's warning about false teachers and false prophets and all that. You look at Hebrews 10. There's a warning there. Hey, make sure that you're putting your faith in Christ, not in the Jewish temple. I mean, there's a context for these, and the context is not meant to have Christians quaking in their boots. It's just this. Look, these apostles cared. They cared about preserving the truth. And when there were false teachings and false prophets, Peter would come along and say, watch out for these guys and don't listen to them and don't be like them. And, you know, they're like, Jesus called them whitewashed tombs, and Peter refers to them, you know, as people who are devoid of the Spirit. In one place in the New Testament, they're called springs without water.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look into Hebrews and the warning there is that if you hear the gospel and take a pass on it, well, where do you think you're going to go? Back to the Jewish temple? You're going to look to the sacrifice of bulls and goats for forgiveness? I mean, that's a joke. And so, you know, there's warnings in the New Testament that aren't meant to scare Christians. Yeah. Now, let me just say this in conclusion, Bob. I get it. I'm reading the Bible. I've got it cracked open to Hebrews 10, and my temptation is to make everything about me. I mean, you know, that's just the way we humans are. I'm going to try to make everything about me, so every verse I read is directed at me, warning me. Well, if you read the Bible like that, watch out. You'll never, ever get it. What you need to do is say, Holy Spirit, look, I don't quite know who I am yet. Sometimes I feel like a sinner. Sometimes I feel like a saint. And I see all over the New Testament it's talking to sinners and then it's talking to saints, and it goes back and forth, and there seems to be two audiences here.
Yeah.
Sometimes encouragement for the church and sometimes evangelism for the sinner. And I need to know who I am. So I'm asking you, Lord, for discernment and wisdom as I study this. And Bob, God is faithful. You know this. God is faithful every single time to show us the truth that sets us free.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andrew, for that. And thank you, Eric, for the question. Quickly over to Fort Worth, we're going to talk to Daniel. Daniel, you're on the air with Andrew Farley.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, y'all.
Sure.
Yes.
I just had a question. Could you possibly explain to me the difference between the lordship salvation theology versus the free grace theology, and which one would be more biblical?
Yeah, absolutely, Daniel. That's a great question. There's this bad teaching called lordship salvation, and it goes a little something like this, Daniel. It is great that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, but are you sure that you made him Lord? Did you really submit? Did you really surrender? Did you really repent fully of everything you've ever done? Did you really, really mean it? And so a person begins to doubt as this message begins to erode their confidence. They're wondering, oh, did I accidentally make him Savior but not make him Lord? And did I phrase it right? Did I do it right? Did I surrender enough? And you know, you just don't find that anywhere in the New Testament. I mean, we're told that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and you're going to find rest for your soul, and all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And I would say there's a baked-in, obvious revelation. When I call upon the name of Jesus to be saved, I'm kind of assuming something there, Daniel. I'm assuming that Jesus is Lord, that he has the power and authority to save me, and that he wants to save me. And, you know, that's the invitation of the gospel. It's not about me and my obedience. It's not about me and my commitment and my dedication and whether I've surrendered enough. No, God knows that when I call upon him for salvation that very day, I begin as an infant in Christ. And unfortunately, lordship salvation has everybody inspecting their track record. It doesn't account for infants in Christ. We got to allow that we're going to learn and grow, Bob. And the truth about real salvation by grace alone, that's always going to set us free.
Absolutely. Daniel, thanks for calling. Hope that's a help to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to reach out again. We love hearing from you. And Kevin, sorry we didn't get to your call today. If you'll call back tomorrow early in the program, we'd love to talk to you as well. So that's that for that. So, Andrew, thank you for being with us today. As always, great insightful input into the Christian life. And friends, keep in mind that we need your support to keep the message on the air and online. Please make your gift at basicgospel.net. And as you do so, be sure to request your copy of Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's our way of saying thank you for supporting Basic Gospel. Again, please make your gift at basicgospel.net. Now, before tomorrow's broadcast, if you have a question about the Christian life or need input for an issue you may be facing, give us a call at 844-322-2742. At that number, you can record a voicemail, and we'll be sure to discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. And again, that number is 844-322-2742. Well, that's it for today's edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. I'm Bob Davis for Andrew Farley, Bob Christopher, and the ministry team, and we'll be back tomorrow. Andrew will be joining me again, and we invite you to join us for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.